Good evening and welcome to another program of Art Speak Radio. I'm your host, Maria Vasquez-White, and I have the wonderful, delightful friend with me, Michelle Pond. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Maria.
Great
Thanks
to see
having
you.
Me.
Oh, you bet, you bet. You know, tonight we have a terrific show for you. Of course, every night is a terrific show. I think so, and our viewers do, too. We do have three guests on this evening, and what they have in common is Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos. Do you know anything about that, Michelle?
I do. I've attended the celebrations and seen the altars at the Nelson Atkins Museum, and I went down to the Maddie Rhodes Gallery.
Oh, man, that's a spoiler alert. Those are our guests. Well, let me tell you, first of all, we have Jenny Mendez on tonight, Teresa Magel, Sarah Hyde Schmiedler, and they all, again, have something in common, the Day of the Dead festivities that they have curated or they have produced for the community. First off, I have Jenny Mendez in the studio. Jenny is the Latino Cultural Arts Director for the Maddie Rhodes Center for over 14 years. She is currently in charge of all arts programming for the agency, and she's just a heck of a really nice gal. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you.
Go ahead and pull that mic up to you, sweetie. There you go. Oh, and it helps if I have the volume up as well.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Jenny, if you wouldn't mind just telling, filling in our guests a bit about what Day of the Dead is, what it's represented by.
Sure. Well, Day of the Dead, really special to my heart, and I've had the opportunity to see Day of the Dead with some special friends, actually in Mexico, including my good friend Maria. Just being able to see it firsthand. But the actual celebration of the Day of the Dead is a celebration of life and death. It's really remembering our loved ones who have died, and in a really positive, very celebratory way. And it's colorful, and it's fun and just exciting at the same time. Even though death, I know, can be somewhat sad at times, of course, and losing a loved one is not always the best thing or, you know, circumstance, but at the same time, this celebration enables people to remember them in a really positive way and really celebrate who they were and how they continue to live in our hearts. And you know, it's just amazing celebration that happens in Mexico, but in other parts of Latin America also. Mm-hmm. And being able to take that and bring it here to Kansas City, and just in the United States, is, you know, celebrated throughout. So,
yeah, you know, I think it's a healthy approach to life and death, mostly for death. But there's so much symbolism. There's so much connected to various things in the culture, such as the butterflies, the mariposa. Mm-hmm. They represent the souls of the departed that return to Earth once a year.
Right.
So we might want to mention, too, that this takes place November 1st and November 2nd. And I don't care what the commercials are out there or if you go to different stores, Day of the Dead is separate from Halloween. Yeah. I think there's been such a blur of that, and helping people to understand and educate them is very helpful, you know, because it is sort of, it is a tribute. It is a memorial to those people who have passed on, or friends and family. Mm-hmm. So with that, Jenny, what do you have at Maddie Rhodes that our listeners may be interested in hearing about?
Well, this is our 16th year of doing the Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos exhibit, and we kick it off early in October so that we can educate school groups, just individual public community.
It's a huge
Throughout the run, the six-week run, which we end on November the 15th, we see several different schools that sometimes travel as far as 3 hours away, individuals that will come from all over because they've heard about it. I mean, a run of 16 years is a pretty good run of an exhibit, and being able to really make connections with people. I just had a school group today that the teacher said that, and she's from the Lawrence area, she said she's been bringing her students for 15 years. So out of the 16 that we've been doing it, she's been coming to visit us for 15 years. And in the exhibit alone, we have workshops, but we also are getting ready, you know, to have another First Friday, which we do two, the one in October and the one in November. And we'll have a parade partnering with Stone Lion Puppets. So that's really another time for people to come out and really celebrate it, learn more about what the Day of the Dead is, and being able to see the altars that are on display and also the artwork that local artists have created.
Now, how is the altar constructed? What will people see, or what do they do for these altars in creating them for a loved one that's passed on or a friend?
Well, we had a workshop this year, which is a little bit different ahead of time. So people that had called and requested to do an altar for a loved one, it was kind of one of those, well, mandatory, but not, you know, I wasn't that strict, but being able to have that opportunity for them to come with and hear about different ideas and symbolisms and traditions of putting together an altar. And a lot of the people that did an altar came to the workshop and really took on those things that they heard and incorporated them into their altar. And some of the traditional things include the four elements of the earth that are really important, so earth, wind, fire, and water. And so all those have different meanings, of course. The earth, anything of the earth, the water, it's very symbolic to be able to put a glass of water for our loved ones because they're traveling very far, mm-hmm. so they're going to be thirsty when they arrive. The air, represented by the papel picado, which are the paper cutout flags, very beautiful and very festive. And then the earth, wind, fire. Sorry, I couldn't remember which one I had done. The fire by the candles, which also helps the souls to find where they need to come back to the living. So the marigolds are the flower of the dead that date back to Aztec times, you know, they are the smell, the glow of the color of the marigold is what helps also to bring the souls back. So the idea of the souls coming back, you know, you want to have everything that they would have enjoyed in life. Mm-hmm. And so on the altar, when you're constructing the altar, you have all that in mind. So if they loved, you know, chicken and mole, you want to make sure that you have that available or mm-hmm. there for them on the Days of the Dead. So October 31st at midnight, people go to the cemeteries, and then they have a party once they arrive home where their altars are created that have all these wonderful foods and things that they enjoyed in life, and all these symbols that we've talked about, like the four elements of the earth, along with mm-hmm. the marigolds, sugar skulls, pan de muerto, which is the dead bread. You know, so all these things that are really important, they all also play a very important role in putting together your altar and mm-hmm. being more traditional as far as what you would see in a traditional altar. A lot of our altars can vary from very traditional to not traditional, and really an artist taking the idea of what Day of the Dead is and you know, connecting it to what they want.
Well, you know, so essentially what you're saying, there's really no right or wrong way. I mean, you know, to have a traditional sort of an altar, you do want to include the four elements, but there really is no right or wrong way. So if someone enjoyed smoking a pack of cigarettes a day or liked M&Ms or something, you would maybe find that on the altar?
Yes. And a lot of people, I think that's one of their first questions is, yeah. I've never done an altar. I don't know what to include. And once they kind of get the idea and they figure it out, it's like, oh, that like kind of burst of an idea that says, oh, my gosh, my grandmother really loved you know, butterscotch candy or whatever it may be, and then they'll go and get some and you can place it on the altar. They really loved a special kind of tea or a favorite chocolate bar, and being able to incorporate that. Maybe even it's a special hat that they wore or a dress or, you know, that you can incorporate, just depending on what the families or what the individual would like for people to know,
well, there's,
you know, about them.
There's so many layers to this celebration. I know we talked about the mariposas, and I can tell our listeners that it's the migration of the monarchs that come from Canada and California, and they usually come about maybe late October and to I think they've quit coming. I haven't seen any more lately, but They start arriving around the U.S. kind of at the end of October, and then they end up in Michoacan in Mexico, and they roost in these huge trees. Have you ever seen them in those wonderful
I've never seen them. Because usually when I went, the time that I've gone to the state of Michoacan where they end up at, and it's, you know, a wonderful place that so many people from around the world will travel to celebrate Day of the Dead. And with the monarchs coming just in time for Day of the Dead, it does make a wonderful, it's such a great symbol of our loved ones coming back to be with the living. So when the monarchs there in Michoacan, once they arrive, you know, it's such an, crazy to think that thousands of them arrive there at one time, and then they start their travel all over again, you know, and the migration happens, and that they've traveled so far, and the idea that the souls of our loved ones are on the wings of the butterfly. I know when I see a butterfly, I always think of that, you know, and I think of people that are special to me and what that means, you know, so...
Well, I have not seen the trees filled with the monarchs, but I've read that there's thousands and thousands of them, that all you see on the trees is this flutter of orange. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I tell you, I feel really bad sometimes when I'm driving around and I just accidentally bump one with my car. It's like, oh, well, that one's not going back to come back to Earth. But, you know, it's just really a spectacular, you know, view to see them all sort of coming in from the different parts of the country. I tell you what, we're going to be right back with Jenny Mendez on ArtSpeak Radio. We're just going to take a quick pause for some underwriting.
Lighthouse, Like Me Lighthouse, Folly Theater, November 13. Headliner, Wanda Sykes. Emmy winner, Judy Gold. All-American Boy, Steve Grand. America's Got Talent, Wendy Liebman. Drag legend, Melinda Ryder. An evening of comedy and song to benefit the Like Me Lighthouse. Sponsored by KKFI, November 13th. More information at follytheater.org.
This week on American Roots, Robert Randolph gathers his musical mentors, including slide brother Calvin Cook. Then a conversation with jazz adventurist Yusef Lateef about composing beyond the blues. Plus music from Lena Horne, Jack White, and Aaron Neville. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Wednesday evening at 7:30.
And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm your host, Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and I'm here with our wonderful guest, Jenny Mendez. She's a friend and artist, a director of Maddie Rhodes Art Center and Gallery, and you're also the Latino program director for all the programs that go through Maddie Rhodes. Well, you and I have traveled to Mexico together on several occasions. What really struck you about the way they celebrate Day of the Dead there, and maybe what happens here in the United States? Is there a big difference?
I think the difference is more just that our translation, just like in any cultural celebration, the translation kind of gets lost a little. But I think with organizations like myself, with Maddie Rhodes, and being able to, and other, you know, galleries or museums that that are taking that celebration, the idea to educate people on those traditions that are truly, you know, the origins of where Day of the Dead came from, the history, the educating people on that. I mean, I think we try to be as close as you can get to wanting to almost be there, right, in Mexico.
Yeah.
And when you see it in Mexico, there's no other words to explain it but to say that it is amazing. And, you know, and just, you know, it's just beautiful in so many different ways and so many different words. And to be able to see the cemeteries all lit up by candlelight and be able to smell the smell of the marigolds and the wax of the candle and the copal incense. I mean, all that stuff just hits you like a ton of bricks, and you being able to be a part of it, and people inviting you to be a part of it. I mean, that's really what, you know, these people that have been celebrating Day of the Dead for years and years and have grown up with that through their lives, that for them to be able to share with tourists, even us as tourists.
Yeah,
I mean, that
yeah.
was a little bit weird because you don't want to be a tourist when you go into Mexico, you feel so much a part of that, of the culture that, mm-hmm. that you know belongs to you. And that's how I feel. And when you walk into something like that and you are a tourist and you are experience it, you know, it is kind of, you know, it takes you back a little bit. And I know mm-hmm. we had that experience when we went to the cemetery in Oaxaca. And I know that, we had talked about that feeling a little bit like you're invading somebody's personal mm-hmm. space, and how do you react to that? And I remember people looking at us and telling us to come here and to
yeah.
take a picture,
yeah.
and that it was okay. And then, so I was all over it. By that point, once they invited me, then I
yeah.
felt like, okay, they're
yeah.
inviting me. I'm going to take a photograph. And a lot of times they pose. They were very proud of the mm-hmm. work that they had done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is at the cemeteries where they've beautified yeah. the tombstones and just like an amazing piece of artwork with marigolds and fresh soil and candles and other flowers that you know, that they put together to make this beautiful, you know, piece for
yeah.
their loved ones, and really honoring them and welcoming them back. So it's all, you know, and I think that part is where that's where the difference would lay, is that
mm-hmm.
these are
mm-hmm.
traditions that started there. And so for us, we take it and kind of define it how we want or how we
yeah.
think or how we see it. We can try to get as close as we want, but we're
mm-hmm.
never going to get
mm-hmm.
exactly
yeah.
there. And I know that other places in California, Chicago, a lot of the Southwest have been celebrating Day of the Dead in their art centers, in their neighborhoods,
sure.
in their cemeteries for years and years beyond what we've done. And I know that they, you know, their communities that you know, want to be a part of that and want a little piece of that Mexico to be able to be in those areas, especially that are populated with a lot of Mexican people. And
yeah.
I think here in Kansas City, we've done a really great job. I think we still have a lot more to go because I think we
sure.
can do so much. And
well, you know what caught my attention is that the Smithsonian is celebrating Day of the Dead. In fact, I believe Sandra Cisneros is a part of that. But she's also, I've seen her at the Mexican Museum in Chicago with her installation for her mother. But I want to ask you if the students that come to the center, are they surprised to find out about this celebration, or do they have a little bit of knowledge firsthand? Because for some people, it could be like, wait a minute, you're celebrating this death? This
mm-hmm.
is, there's some sort of education that has to occur or take place, I think, beforehand. But
yeah, no, and I love it when people have pre-taught, you know, so when a teacher is knowledgeable and they're going to bring their students on a field trip, if they have done some pre-lessons, you know, and if they call us and ask us for some of that information,
mm-hmm.
well, heck, I'd be happy to talk
yeah.
them through it, or try to get them whatever, give them a website, or you know what I mean, just because sometimes I know that it's that unknown, and when
yeah.
and we've had some students that come in and have no idea, nobody has really shared with them
yeah.
what they're going to experience, and they may come from a rural area, or they may come from a high school or grade school or elementary, middle school down the road, you know, and if they have no knowledge and no firsthand idea of like, hey, I'm going into a gallery, this is my behavior, and I need to listen so I might learn something and be
mm-hmm.
open to an experience that I've never been a part of. And we've had a couple of different experiences where it's like they could really care less.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you
yeah.
know, because you really,
yeah.
it opens up your ideas of how can I reach them to get
yes.
them to open
yeah.
up and understand it, you know.
I think there's a way that you can sort of entice them or get them vested and you know, helping them to make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want this incense or this or that. But again, I think
yeah.
you open that possibility for them to make it their own.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, where sometimes it can be a challenge, because then you're like, okay, they don't know anything.
Yeah.
They're looking
yeah.
at it and they're scared of the skeletons that are in our gallery. They don't understand it. They're saying it's creepy. And then I have to like then go right into that mode of, okay, well, look at the skeletons again, you know. Look at them. They're not scary like Halloween skeletons. They're happy. They have glitter in their eyes. Their mouths are open. They're dressed the way they would dress in life, or they're making fun of death.
See, and I think that's real important to learn is that, you know, the philosophy or the belief there is that ultimately, we're all going to die. So, you know, they're sort of making fun and having fun and accepting that death, because whether you're a lawyer, a teacher, you know, a doctor, or a radio personality, you know, we're all going to die. So I think it's a very healthy sort of a way to examine death. Excuse me. Do you know, just ballpark idea, how many altars have you yourself created, Jenny? That's a good question.
I know, that was a really good question. Oh, I'd say for sure over a dozen. And I'm going way back thinking about one of the first times that I created an altar with you. And when we were doing it at the World's Window some years ago. And when it was in Westport. So that's you know, that's going pretty far back. And you had an altar, I had an altar, and then we've done altars together. But I mean,
we had dueling altars.
At least a dozen, I would say. And just different places that I've done them at. Or I've done a presentation, and I've done a small altar while I'm there so that they can kind of see what it is that the Day of the Dead is about. So
I was just curious because, you know, after 16 years... You know, I know you've probably accumulated a lot of work. Is this a difficult time for you every year to prepare for this? Because it's huge in the community. Or is it just, okay, you just sort of hunker down and go through it? Are you able to enjoy the Day of the Dead at all to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, this year I think... it's a little bit different for me. I just recently lost my brother-in-law, so we did an altar for him, and it's been... And so that's kind of, you know, a way... And, of course, it didn't happen until the last second, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the way I work. So, you know, being able to work under pressure and getting an altar together like that was really healthy and, I think, very helpful in the grieving process. And then... Just the idea the Day of the Dead is coming around, it's really something that I look forward to. Uh-huh. Yes, by the time the 5th and 6th week roll around, which is coming really soon, I would be some years I'm like, oh my gosh, if I see another skeleton. but it's really fun. I mean, I love, like, today just traveling all over, doing tours this morning, heading to Lawrence to do another workshop. I mean, it's part of what we do, and I think even like helping out with partnering with other organizations, you know, like the Nelson Atkins Museum. I mean, that's the icing on the cake. Yeah. So I don't see it as more work. I see it as wow, what a great way to be able to talk about and work with people that I can help to bring Day of the Dead in a bigger light, you know.
Well, and just as you said about, you know, celebrating with the people in Mexico and the gravesites, that you were invited to participate. You were invited. You were included in this. You know, this loving remembrance of people. So, you know, including community for your events at Matty Rhodes, it certainly makes sense. I do want to remind our listeners that Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead, at Matty Rhodes has been going on since October 3rd, and it runs through November 15th. There is a closing reception and illuminated Calaca Parade Friday, November 7th, from 6 to 10 p.m., and that's located at Matty Rhodes Art Center, 915 and 919 West 17th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. And the website is mattyrhodes.org. And Matty Rhodes is spelled MattyRhodes. And I think you'll find that on our Facebook page if you know, you need more information. So this is... The big parade is happening next Friday. Mm-hmm. And can you explain what a calaca is?
Yeah, a calaca is a skeleton figure. So Calavera is a skull, the skull head, but a calaca would be like a fun skeleton figure, so like the full body figure. It could dangle. Sometimes it's posed like a ballerina or like a drummer or has a mohawk or has gray hair like a grandma.
A soccer player.
So that's the calaca. And so the idea of having a calaca parade is that, you know, we want to get all the skeleton figures that we can get out. So if you want to be a part of it and dress up as your favorite skeleton Day of the Dead figure, you know, we want everybody and anybody to be a part of the parade.
Sure.
If you just want to come watch it, that's great too. But but we're inviting all calacas to show up.
Now, every year you have a featured artist that that does a drawing or a design for you for posters and T-shirts and that. Who's your featured artist?
This year it's James Jukes. He's a local artist who fell in love with Day of the Dead some years ago, started participating in our exhibit, and we actually had him featured some years ago as a, and he was, you know, on our, his design was on our shirts and on our posters and all our advertising. So we decided to have him be our feature artist again because his artwork has been just popular within our gallery and exhibit throughout the year, not just for Day of the Dead, even though his work is Day of the Dead themed. Really, all year round, we can really promote him and sell his work. And he was all about it, very excited. And so we were very excited to have him again this year.
Usually, are your featured artists local?
Yeah, we try. We've had... like Jorge Gutierrez, who has the movie out now, that he was our our featured artist.
I remember.
Like in 2004, and so I mean it's pretty amazing that now there's this Day of the Dead movie that's out and people can go see it at the movie theater and the Book of Life. And he was once our featured artist for Matty Rhodes, and we never met him. He never came, but
we had his work.
All through email and on the phone, and we had his work here. But yeah, every year it's a great way for an artist to be celebrated, and especially if they're, you know, they already have a connection with Day of the Dead, then why not?
You know, I think in many ways I was very excited to go and, you know, when I heard that this movie was coming out, and visually, you know, 3D stunning storyline, meh. But you know, that's just me.
I haven't seen it, so. Well, but I've heard, like, different people have said some great things about the artwork itself. So I think the artwork itself probably overdoes with the storyline, maybe, you know.
In some ways, you know, I don't know if it truly gets to the heart of Dia de los Muertos, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's, you know, a call for other people to make. But for me, meh. But, you know, I like 3D, so you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
Jenny, I do want to remind our listeners that Dia de los Muertos, the celebration, closing celebration, is Friday, November 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. If someone wants to give you a call or contact you, what is the number at Matty Rhodes?
Our number is 816-221-2349, and you can check out our website for more information also, mattyrhodes.org, and you know, if there's any questions, just give us a call. If you don't get an answer right away, don't worry. Leave a message, and we'll try to get back to you as soon as we can.
Is there a Facebook page?
Yeah,
or?
We have the Matty Rhodes Center Facebook page. You know, we could like us on that, and we'll try to update it as much as possible. Our website. You know, any information, or stop by the gallery, and we're happy to give you the information of our upcoming second reception for sure.
Is it too soon to ask you what's coming up next? Is it too soon to ask you what's coming up next after this?
After Day of the Dead. Oh.
Yes. I mean, do you go on a long vacation?
I try to take a week off on Thanksgiving. But then we're right back at it again. And we have a show that we're bringing back to our gallery that we haven't done in a little while, the Lotería show. So in December, that'll be our main show. Uh-huh. And it's really the Mexican bingo is what a lot of people refer to it as. And everybody picks a card and does a painting. And it's a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to that. But, as soon as we're done, we got to start doing the next thing. So
no rest for the wicked.
Right.
Jenny, have I left anything out? Is there any anything you want to tell our listeners?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, we're looking for... I mean, the season has been a great season.
Yeah.
And every year it's, you know, a lot of work, but a lot of really great, you know, excitement goes into it. And... you know, it's just something that we look forward to every year, and you know, thank you so much for having us. having us on to be able to talk, and having me on to be able to talk about just the Day of the Dead in general. And
well, and just talking with you, I had forgotten some of the memories, and as I'm sitting here thinking, I can almost smell that incense, that kapal, know, from the graveyards. Well, I do want to tell our listeners that we're going to take a couple of, we're going to do some underwriting, and then we're going to take another break. And during this time, Jenny has generously given us a T-shirt from Maddie Rhodes and a poster. And when we go to underwriting and the break, if you want to give us a call at 816-931-5534, I will take the third caller. Thank you so much, Jenny.
Thank
you so
much.
We'll be talking to you soon.
Young auto workers today make far less than their older co-workers. This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, we'll have a conversation with 21st century Ford workers about their hopes, their jobs, and their compensation. Then, our Pioneer Woman of the Month is a young Latina who ran President Obama's 2012 campaign in the state of Kansas. That's Heartland Labor Forum Thursday, 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
This week on The Pioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
We need people to think with their hearts. We need them to see that their soul is connected to every other living creature on this planet. And we need to apply the science to come up with the solutions.
I'm Neil Harvey. This week it's a spiritual response to the ecological crisis. On The Pioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
Friday morning at 9:30, right before Eclectics.
Listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm your host, Maria Vasquez Boyd. We have a very special evening tonight of Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. Next up, we have a wonderful creative person here in the studio. Teresa Magel is an artist and a painter, and recently she co-curated a group show, a group art show, called Sugar Skulls, a tribute to the Dia de los Muertos at the Hilliard Gallery. And that's at 1820 McGee in Kansas City. It's just a little bit south of the crossroads. Welcome, Teresa. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Or this evening, I should say. So tell me about the show that you curated. Is this a first for Hilliard?
I believe it is a first for the Hilliard, and it was my debut curatorial exhibit as well.
No pressure, huh?
Yeah. I actually had no idea what I was getting into. It's a really big task to take on to curate a show with so many artists. But
What spurned your interest? I mean, was it something that you had read about or had traveled to? Or what?
Mm-hmm,
how did
indeed.
You get inspired to do this?
The irony in it, as you were speaking to Ms. Mendez, was that you said a lot of people who aren't of this heritage don't understand this, and it's scary. About 10 years ago, I was watching a documentary on HBO or something, and it had to do with Dia de los Muertos. And I thought, what a weird holiday, and how scary. And so I was exactly that person you were talking about. Mm. And last year, went on a trip to Mexico. It was a wedding, about 70 of us, and
we're in Mexico.
We went to a resort in Cozumel for the wedding, which is a very touristy town, and still so inspiring. And at the resort, they dressed up and they painted the tourist faces, and they had the altars up, and it was just beautiful.
Well, as an artist, I'm sure that must have been exciting to see. I mean, something new, something different, very colorful.
Very, very colorful.
And
very
so at that time you thought, well, I'm going to give a try at this, or what was your thinking after you were exposed to sort of the tradition?
I guess I hadn't really thought of it even as I left Mexico. I just knew it had stuck inside my soul, and I thought, it's so beautiful, it has to be shared.
Yeah.
So I think it must have been a couple weeks after my return, I got the idea that, hey, we need to have a show that honors this theme here in Kansas City.
Uh-huh. Did you have to do some research to sort of, you know, get the parameters down for the show?
I did. I did a lot of Googling. A lot of Googling, And it really, really interests me that somebody's attempt to make death not scary.
Yeah.
It really was. And I was a hospice nurse at one time. So did a lot of dealing with death and whatnot. And then the American culture, completely different. It's sad. It's scary. It continues to be sad and scary, even after the effect. So it's very nice to see a culture where death is expected to be normal, and it's looked on like that. While it's sad, it's still...
So have you been an artist all your life, along with being a nurse, or I mean in hospice?
Well, I'm not a hospice nurse anymore, but I'm still a nurse. I'd say I do them both about 50-50. And probably been an artist for about 20 years and a nurse for about 13.
So how was this first show received?
I'm going to give my opinion. I thought it was amazing.
That's okay. So I have a list of some of the artists that participated. How did you choose the people the artists that you wanted to include in the show? What was the process like?
That is a great question. Once I got permission from the gallery owner to have free reign of the show, I already knew in my head who I wanted to be in it. And everybody's work just came together in my head, and it just looked amazing already up there. So I knew it would look great in the show. And, of course, it was a themed show, so nobody had actually done any work yet. I just knew their work and asked the artists if they would be interested. And nobody said no. Everybody was interested, and everyone, even like you, Maria, your birthday is... November 2nd?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
So you had a tie-in
and
with it.
And thank you for the lovely diamond tennis bracelet you brought me.
and everybody else seemed to have a tie in it, too. Like, I used to live in New Mexico. We were used to celebrating this. And
you know, is it very prevalent there in the Southwest? I mean, I know L.A. and some of the you know, New York and that. I know that they have big festivals, but is it something that's fairly common then in the Southwest? Because I have not participated in an event there.
You know, I'm not sure. The young lady that said she lived there, she said she lived on the border, Amber Yoshida, and that they celebrated it there. I did a little college in Tempe, Arizona. I don't remember it, but I wasn't really looking for it then either.
Yeah. I'll have to think about that one because I was there last year and I was in Taos, but I think that the date had passed, but I wasn't really sure if that was something that was big there. Can you give us a rundown of some of the artists that are participating?
Absolutely, and I would say about 50% of the artists were Latino artists. Mm-hmm. Were honored to do the show, and I believe the other half maybe weren't familiar with the theme, but also got into it, did some research, and came out with some beautiful pieces.
But it wasn't sort of okay, you can only be Latino or Latina to be in the show. I mean, you were inclusive, right?
Right. Yes. In fact, I wanted to share it with others who weren't, but who maybe had the same thought process as I did before I saw what it really truly was, a beautiful holiday. And all of them did amazing, beautiful work. Some of the artists, I've got them all. Well, you, of course, Maria. Your pieces were amazing.
I did not pay her to say that.
They were beautiful.
Thank you.
And also somebody who's involved in Maddie Rhodes, Vania Soto.
Mm-hmm.
And she did some work for our show and for Maddie Rhodes both at the same time.
Was she the one that created the postcard for that?
No. She had the Frida Kahlo print on the wall. The postcard was actually done by, I'm not sure what his heritage is, but he's a blonde man from Topeka. And he did this on the postcard. This is a painting of his wife in Day of the Dead makeup. It's just lovely.
It really is. And it's a fairly large piece, too.
It is. And the other piece at the entrance of the gallery is his son. So he really also included family, which is an extremely important aspect of this holiday.
So, let's see. That runs. Currently, it's up and running at the Hilliard Gallery. How long will it run for?
It will run through November 22nd.
November 22nd. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the Hilliard Gallery at 1820 McGee. And for more information, you can go to their website, hilliardgallery.com. Teresa, based on the success of this show, are you maybe going to do it again next year?
That's so funny, Maria. I hadn't even thought about that because it was such work. And that night was so rewarding, and I just finally relaxed that night. And somebody asked me that, well, are you going to do it every year? Are you going to do it next year? And I said, oh, I haven't even thought that yet. Let me get through tonight.
And Jenny says, yeah, I've been there.
So I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's probably something you don't really want to think about at this time, you know.
It's true.
But, you know, the planning really takes a lot, moving forward into the next year. And, you know, what other artists can I bring into the gallery and that sort of thing.
Right.
So, November 22nd, will you have a closing
reception?
Uh-huh.
I imagine not. I do know that it will be open for November 7th, Friday. So there'll be a second reception, probably not as large as the first one with the weather changes and whatnot, but it will be open and all the same work will be up.
Very good. Is there any contact information that you want to give people, Facebook or your website?
The Hilliard Gallery is on Facebook, and it's H-I-L-L-I-A-R-D. HilliardGallery.com, and my website is TeresaMagel.com.
Very good. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back.
LGBTQIA, 1 p.m. on Saturday, music, news, and interviews. This is what you ought to do. Tune to 90.1 FM, Saturdays at 1 p.m.
The Tenth Voice, because you refuse to be silent.
I'm Michael Hogue. Monday on the Arts Magazine Show, we're going to journey over to the Barn Players and learn all about their new show, La Cage aux Folies. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to go to the Lyric Opera downtown and talk about their new show, Italian Girl. That's Monday at noon, Arts Magazine Show, right here on KKFI.
I'm Reverend Bauer, and I approve this message.
And we're back. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm your host tonight, Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and we have the lovely Teresa Magel in our studio talking about Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos, and the first year for the Hilliard Gallery.
First year.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that guests will see in the gallery? What sort of work, kind of work you have up?
A variety of work. We have Angelica Sandoval is a sculpture artist. She's a local, and she did a lot of, glazed terracotta work. And she is a Latina from that, and I'm very, very proud of her heritage. And her work stood out. It was beautiful. We have a lot of 2D paintings. And one interesting sculpture that came from Virginia, I believe. And it was sort of a darker side of Day of the Dead, and it was called Mother Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a mother mourning the death of a child from the drug cartel, which sort of wasn't exactly fitting in with all the flowers and the beautiful and the sugar skulls and everything. But I thought it was important to tell that side of the holiday.
Well, and I think that's really an important viewpoint to recognize too, because it's not always about, you know, the mentality is, yes, it is, you know, welcoming back the people who have passed on and our friends, but there's also that the sort of ugly side too that you mourn. So it does have that balance, and the culture, there's such a balance of life and death and black and white, you know. So it was very a touching tribute, I believe.
I believe so too. And her, I don't know her. Karen is her name, Swinholt, and it doesn't sound like a Latina name. But I kind of wrote something down that made me think. Because when I first put the show on, I thought to myself, well, what right do you have to do this show? You're a half Welsh, half German girl. You know, what do you know of Day of the Dead? But when I started creating the pieces, I started thinking of loved ones that I loved who had passed.
Sure.
And I think the same thing for her. And part of the doing the show, it was honoring the theme, and it was a humongous part for me, that while you're creating this piece, think of the person and put that part of you into that piece.
Yeah, yeah.
And honor them as you make your creative process. And I figure Karen probably did that as well with her work.
Well, and I think you touched on something that is really important. Again, you know, sharing the information and educating people and really sort of embracing people who want to know more about it and accepting, you know, well, this is maybe not my culture, but I'm interested in it because, again, it's something that they can make their own. So it's really important, I think, to understand that. So in your work, has your work changed or shifted any having discovered this this new sort of philosophy about life and death, or has it affected your work at all?
I think it's my same girls, my beautiful, whimsical girls, just with some face makeup on, and searching their soul a little bit more, and like I said, honoring those.
Well, I think it's really interesting because the night of the opening, you had you know, your hair up, and you had, I believe, painted some high heels with the skulls and all that, and tonight you're wearing some boots that also have that that motif.
It's true.
So it's kind of gotten to you, hasn't it?
It is. It's like when you're looking for a house to rent, you see every rent sign ever. I see anything Day of the Dead now. It's attractive to me.
Well, something that your husband told me at the gallery, I was looking at some small statues that you had created for the window display and for sale as well. And he had mentioned that you had been to Mexico and you saw something that you really liked, kind of talked to the shopkeeper, and then decided, you know what, I'm going to go make this myself. So talk about some of the pieces that you've made for the show.
Okay. The whole intent of all those little statuettes on the altar in the window of the gallery were 100% made just for that altar, and he was right. I did find one in Mexico I wanted, and when I got to the register, I didn't like the price, so I said, oh, I can do this when I get home. So I made those myself, and then bought some already made and repainted them into Day of the Dead makeup, and in on every one of them had written something about life, about love, about life after death in Spanish.
Very good. Teresa, is there anything what are your final words for our listeners out there that you might want to share?
I think everybody should get out of their comfort box. And this is one way that I did. Traveling was it for me. It opened me up to different cultures. My children, there was an altar in our living room for over a month while I was preparing it for the show, and they asked no questions, and it's important that they asked no questions about, Mom, this is strange. What is this doing here? They just accepted that it was how it was for the show, and I think everybody should reach out and get into other cultures more. I think I'll be taking the children to the event at the Nelson Atkins this weekend, looking forward to it. And I took them to the Matty Rhodes the day of their event. So I think it's important for people to reach out.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Teresa Magel. We're going to take a real quick break. I have yet another T-shirt to give away, and we'll take a break. Third caller, call 816-931-5534. And I'm glad, Michelle, that I remembered to tell people our number, because last time I wasn't so good about doing that. But this time I've learned. So, again, 816-931-5534. We'll take the third caller.
A Mexican. The people back home were making fuse. Never been to a Fandango, Southern Veracruz. The people back home were making fuse. Never been to a Fandango, Southern Veracruz. Colas, 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 and Nicolas. It's Chile, but you never got across. So you can get out of Mexico once you got in. Then you're gonna have a baby and she'll be a Mexican.
Listening to KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd for Art Speak Radio. I have a terrific program tonight. We do every Wednesday night. And we've got a room full of wonderful guests here to talk about Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. And that is one time of the year when your loved ones, your family, your friends return to Earth. And you celebrate in ways that honor their memory, sometimes with altars or sometimes with, just music. And it's a wonderful, wonderful event. And here at the microphone right now, we have Sarah Hyde Schmiedler from the Nelson Atkins Museum. She's the Francis Family Foundation educator and family programs and events. She's going to talk about the altar installation that's honoring an artist here, an artist, and is created by a local artist, Miguel Angel Rivera, from the Kansas City Art Institute. So welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Terrific. So let's first off talk about when the Nelson decided, or when they began the celebration. How long has it been going on now?
This year marks our fourth annual Day of the Dead altar installation and festival. So it started really when we had our new director come to the museum, Julian, and he grew up in Mexico, and he had fond memories of the holiday, and he wanted to bring that to the Nelson Atkins. So it started out rather small the first year, and then it's just grown over the 4 years, and it's truly a community celebration, and it's been just embraced by more and more community groups and performance groups. So it's just been a wonderful opportunity to be able to see it grow over these past few years.
Well, and just like the other two guests have talked about, Teresa and Jenny, it is inclusive. You're reaching out to the community in a way that they become a part of it as well, right?
Absolutely. And the first year we worked with Maddie Rhodes and some artists from the community, including you. And then we worked with those artists to create an altar that would help people understand the tradition. So it had the certain layers of the altar, the colors, the flowers, the skulls, the dead bread, the all sorts of things that were traditional. And then the following year, we had a guest artist, Betsabe Romero, and she created a very different kind of an altar, but still had a lot of traditional elements. Mm-hmm. And she worked with local artists and collaborated with more artists, more volunteers, students from UMKC, students from the Art Institute, and museum volunteers. It just grew in the collaborative process with her. And then the next year, we worked with Maddie Rhodes and local artists to create an altar, which honored Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo. And then this year, we are working with Miguel, and his altar, again, is different, which is just so exciting to see how such a variety of creative minds and artists can create different things just based on the same concepts. And
absolutely.
And then so his installation is very different, but then in some ways has a lot of the same elements too.
Terrific.
And so it's really really interesting to see how it has evolved over time. And that's just the altar installation. Uh-huh. The festivals mm-hmm. is also the same way, community celebration.
You know, if you're just now tuning in, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Art Speak. I'm talking with Sarah Heidschmiedler, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. We're talking about Day of the Dead and including the community in this festival, in this celebration of people that come back to Earth 2 days out of the year, November 1st and November 2nd. The installation for the altar this year, I mentioned at the top of the hour, that is a local artist. So would you want to talk about that? Is it different from the others that previously installed an altar?
Yes, it is. And then our setting for our altar installation is unique as well, because whereas at the two gallery installations of a variety of artists' work have been talked about this evening, in this case we use our grand hall, Kirkwood Hall, and
that's
create
huge.
One large
yeah.
altar, and then a lot of other elements which absolutely fill this gigantic hall.
That's a huge task.
It really is. It really is, and a test to fill the space and to be respectful of the space too, because it's one of Kansas City's just ultimate spaces to visit,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Without anything decorating it at all. So he has chosen to create a more minimalist lantern-like altar that is lit from within. And then it illuminates images from his recent trip to Oaxaca, which is believed to be where the Day of the Dead traditions began. So it's the older kinds of traditions,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
even Aztec designs. And then that's the altar, these gorgeous images, very high-resolution images. And then the lowest portion of the altar is more plain, and that serves as a backdrop for people to come and add their own personal remembrances for people that they have lost.
So now that's such a beautiful thing, you know. You know, to remember together collectively different people that we truly love and miss and want to honor. You know, that's really a terrific, maybe even a healing sort of way to.
It is. I would say it's just. It's universal, really, and so that people walk around and enjoy his altar installation that he's worked on with others. There are stickers that are on the floor that are very highly reflective and bright, and then there's images that are moving images on either side of the altar too. But people come in and experience the space, and then they add their own remembrance to the
yeah.
installation, and it's just that's an experience in itself to see how a child might have left a remembrance for a pet,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or someone else might have written a poem for someone they were very close
yeah.
to,
and again, it's very
really
personal, it's very individualized. I mean, there's no cookie cutter way to, you know, sort of celebrate, you know, or mourn that person, or you know, pay tribute to them, and there's so many different ways that you know that occurs with a celebration like this.
The first year that the Nelson did the Day of the Dead celebration and exhibit, 2011, my sister had died unexpectedly in the spring, and so it was really a great help to me in being able to bring something in and leave it on the altar. It definitely has a healing power.
That's really nice to hear, and
absolutely,
and it's just makes you feel like you have some feelings in common with others as well, as you leave your remembrance and look at what other people have left, and just if
yeah.
you even visit it at the beginning of the installation now, and then would come back maybe at the festival, and then toward the end, it's just something else, how it just grows and grows.
Yeah.
Last year, we had 5,000 remembrances, and we just about ran out over the few weeks that it was on exhibit, and just really overwhelming.
You know, I think we'll take a real quick break. Sarah, you brought something to give away to our listeners. Can you tell us what we're going to give away?
Yes, I brought tickets to the Plains Indians exhibition, the Plains Indians Artists of Earth and Sky. So that's what we have to give away.
Great, thank you. And I do want to tell our listeners, I'll take the third call. I don't know why I'm in threes, at 816-931-5534. We're going to go to a quick break. And all our winners tonight, Lena and Jack, they will need to pick up their gifts here at the station at 3901 Main during business hours, 8 to 5. So I will go to a song, and we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio.
About, let me tell you what it's all about. Doubtless you want to know. I've been a queen and I've seen high society. I've been there so many times with millionaires just to help them chase their cares away. These are the dopes, I suppose you all know how to play.
And this is Maria Vasquez Ford. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is ArtSpeak Radio. We have the wonderful and lovely Sarah Hyde Schmedler in studio today talking about Day of the Dead, the celebration, Dia de los Muertos at the Nelson. That's going on. Oops. It's going on right now, Sarah?
Yes, it's on view now through November 9th.
Okay. So this is a huge weekend for you in that there's a lot happening with at the museum. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Tomorrow evening there is a talk by the artist in conversation with the director of the museum, and that's at 6 in the evening.
Uh-huh.
And the festival is coming up on Sunday. So on Sunday, November 2nd, from 1 to 4 p.m., the museum will absolutely be filled with activities like decorating sugar skulls and doing rubbings of original printing blocks and seeing multiple printmaking demonstrations and a giveaway of prints and demonstration by the print factory. Then we will have, of course, the altar on view in Kirkwood Hall.
We'll have a flurry of festivities there on Sunday, right?
We really do. We have
performance and music,
readings
and
by the Latino Writers Collective. We've got performances of Mexican folkloric dance, two different live music groups, and we even have a special performance by a contemporary Mexican dance group who's coming, and that's really going to be extraordinary too. So that's was facilitated by the Mexican consulate in Kansas City, and so that's just going to be something new to have this group from Mexico do a performance that's from a different kind of a more of a contemporary modern interpretation of Day of the Dead traditions on top of many performances that are much more traditional, like the mariachi music and things like that.
So it gives people sort of a sampling of, you know, this whole celebration. So there's traditional, there's more contemporary, and again, the altar is less traditional, and he's taken a different sort of a approach to his altars. This is family friendly.
It is definitely family friendly, and there are activities and performances and demonstrations going on throughout the museum, so you could really make your own day. You could have a preschooler friendly day and hear a preschooler story time about Mexican culture and decorate a sugar skull, or you could have a just adults day and see the contemporary dance and then listen to live music and see the altar installation. So there's just so many different choices that you can find something for any age or any activity level, whether it's a more quiet contemplative time or a really loud and fun time.
I mean, there's so much to see and do. That is at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, located at 4525 Oak Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And you can get more information off the website, nelson-atkins.org. Will there be a listing of the different performers and that sort of thing? What can people see from the website? What sort of information can they get from that?
Yes, if you check out the website, it has the times for all of these different performances and the locations, so you can plan your afternoon, or you could just come and pick up a program on site and see what you want to do.
Wow.
Too.
Yeah, that's great. How many people do you keep track of how many guests come in for this? I mean, has it been growing through the years and gaining momentum?
It has. It was around or under 1,000 people came the first year, and then it was over 2,000, well over 2,000 last year. So it's great to see the growth in the numbers, and then it's also great to see just the people engaging and just feeling welcome, and just that's really spectacular to see people just enjoying the museum in a variety of ways, because there's so many different ways to enjoy it.
Now, I'm just very curious. On a different note, have you been to Mexico to sort of see this for yourself and go, you know, kind of do a comparative sort of survey of what it's like there and what the museum offers?
I've been to Mexico, and I've been to Mexico City and seen the museum and seen ruins and things like that, but I have not been to the actual celebration in Oaxaca, so that's on my to-do list.
If you're not busy Sunday, let's go.
Sounds good. We'll maybe after Michelle, Sunday.
We'll get Michelle to go with us, too. So I do want to mention again to our listeners that this Sunday, November 2nd, I should remember that, right? The huge family festival takes place at the Nelson Atkins Museum. The altar is honoring writer Gabriel Jose Garcia Marquez, and it's created by the artist and chair of the Kansas City Art Institute in the printmaking department, Miguel Angel Rivera, and it's just going to be a big day of music and performance and food.
Yes, we'll have food too.
Are you going to cook this all yourself, honey?
No. great chefs cooking up all the festive food.
And so this will go on view through November 9th. And is there a contact information or a number that the that folks may want to call if they want to ask questions in that?
Yes, the phone number to call is 816-751, and then it's 1-A-R-T, just one art. And then the website is the nelson-atkins.org.
Great. Sarah, do you have any parting words for our listeners? Is there anything that that we might have left out or that you might want to mention at this time?
Well, I would like everyone to check out the website and find out what interests them and what they would like to do at the museum, how they could connect. We have several cultural festivals throughout the year and and lots of activities and exhibitions. So just see what's new at the museum.
Terrific. I want to thank you so much for coming in this evening, Sarah. I will see you on Sunday.
I look forward to it. Thank
Very
you.
Good. We're going to take a quick underwriting break, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio.
Thursday, October 30th, 8 p.m. at Knucklehead Saloon. It came from out of the garage. An All Hallows Eve garage rock dance party with three terrifyingly great bands. The Quivers, Till Willis and Erratic Cowboy, and Alan Murphy from Ricky Dean Sinatra with the Frequent Flyers. That's Thursday, October 30th, 8 p.m. Tickets online at knuckleheadskc.com. This is a benefit for KKFI.
Saturday, November 1st, is Building a Culture of Peace's Children's Day on the third floor of the Miller-Nichols Library on the UMKC campus from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Activities include music with Mr. Stinky Feet, storytelling, art, and poetry contest, and more. More information can be found by calling 816-753-2372. This message is a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
And you're listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM. KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Oh my goodness, Michelle, I don't know if I'm going to survive this night. It's been a little tough. I got a little bit of something about noon, but I was so excited about our guest tonight and having everyone come down and talk about their celebrations and giving us some information about, you know, galleries and this and that. So I knew I had to be on my best, but it's been a little rough.
Well, you've been a trooper, and I think the wonderful thing our guest showed tonight was that the celebrations are different. There are elements that are similar, but just like everyone's grief journey, these celebrations are all unique.
I think so. You know, I think it's interesting because when we talk about Dia de los Muertos, you know, the feeling that I get from people, or they'll just come right out and say to me, well, I'm not Latina, so I really can't celebrate it. But, no, it's really for everyone, you know. It's a time to heal and celebrate and, you know, just pay tribute to those people, you know.
And I think just like anything else, there are universal aspects. I know that when I went the first year, one of the things that impressed me about the altars was that the people did, they showed the things that their loved ones loved or that were big parts of their daily life. And so I realized I didn't even really have to build an altar, but I could go listen to music that I knew my sister liked and remember her in that way. Or I could do something that we had done together and make that a special day to remember her.
Absolutely. You know, I've been Mexican all my life. and so I honestly didn't really get it growing up. I really didn't kind of understand it. It took me a few years. But I really feel a connection to Day of the Dead, not only because of my heritage, but I'm also born November 2nd, so that's All Souls Day. So, you know, I feel like it's mine. But you can share. I'll share with you.
Well, thank you.
Michelle, you have some poetry that you want to read, you want to share with us and our listeners this evening.
I do. I do write some grief poetry. I volunteer with a bereavement group, and I've had several losses by this time in my life, and so I do. Grief is one of the recurring themes, and so for this first poem, and I think it includes some elements of some of the things that we do during the day of the dead celebration.
Mm-hmm.
It's called "I Keep You With Me."
Okay.
I keep you with me throughout each day. I seek your counsel often and share my thoughts with you. I hear you in music and laughter and feel your presence when I need you the most. I will always keep you with me because, unlike people, love never dies.
You know, that's really a beautiful sentiment, you know. And I think there's so many people that can relate to that, you know. Because you're no longer here on this earth, you know, I haven't forgotten you, you know. And you have, what are you reading out of, if you would tell our listeners?
I'm reading out of my chapbook, which is, that was the title poem, I Keep You With Me.
Uh-huh. Do you have another one that you want to share with us?
Sure. Holidays, birthdays, things like that are generally difficult, especially the first year after you've lost someone. And so this poem is about birthdays. It's called Remembering Day. This day used to be your birthday. I gave you presents, lit candles to mark another year of life, filled up on cake. This day is now the anniversary of your birth. I miss your presence. Light a candle in honor of your life. Try to fill up on memories, but the hunger never ends.
Beautiful, beautiful work. So does one continue to work through their grief as they write about death or maybe a memory of someone that's gone? What do you think?
I do think it helps.
Uh-huh.
I think it helps to... It helps you. It sort of crystallizes things.
Sure,
I think.
Sure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just curious because, you know, as adults we get it, but as children, you know, that concept. It's like, well, when would they be back? Well, you know, it's a difficult answer to you know give them to help them understand. Do you have any points or any? Thoughts about that?
Well, I don't know. I think one of the things that other cultures do better than we do, and I think the Day of the Dead again shows that, is that it shows that we do carry people with us, and that the way they have touched our lives still stays with us, even though they aren't here physically anymore. And I don't think we do a really good job in our culture of conveying that idea, especially, you know, to younger children.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know there's so much that's written about death that I don't know really if there is a way really to help people understand or children to understand. I think it's really interesting. My daughter, when she was a little kid, she would see a dog that was hit by the side of the road, and she was... just didn't get it. She'd say, "Oh, Mom, look at that dog. He's asleep." Like, well, yeah, but you know, there was a time and a place to sort of have that dialogue with her and talk to her. But at the same time, you know, when is the time? You know, when is the time right? So I guess it's different from one individual to another.
Sure.
Do you have another poem you'd like to share with us?
I would, and I wrote this one. This was a statue that my brother and I saw. It was on the grounds where of the church
and where the lunch after my sister's funeral was held. So this is called the Angel Tree. A copper beech tree at the end of its natural life turned into an angel tree at the hands of a sculptor. 360 degrees of heavenly beings. When I picture it, I see your face among them.
Beautiful. Do you create, have you continued to create altars for the people that that have left this life?
Well, I don't really do altars, but I think I've tried to do some different things, like, you know, maybe have a meal that I know of foods that I know that they liked, or I think I had said listen to music or read maybe some books or stories or poems that I know were special to them. And I actually tried to incorporate things more even on a daily basis of knowing that, you know, as I said before, that these people affect your life, and you know there are certain ways that they do that, and you're able to go back to those things even after they're gone.
Well, very good. Thank you, Michelle, for sharing your work with us. And do you have an announcement for next week? Now, don't you start coughing, kid. I can't afford for you to be sick, too.
I do have an announcement. Next week on Art Speak Radio, November 5th, our guest will be Carrie Real. Stay tuned for American Roots coming up next at 9:30, Chamber Music with Dr. Mike, followed by From Arc to Microchip at 11:30 p.m.
Before we close out, does anyone know anything about the Royals game? I guess it started, at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock, yeah.
7 o'clock. Any updates? Do we know? You know, I've just been too busy doing all of this here that I haven't really checked anything, but very proud of our city, and I want to thank our guests, our wonderful guests this evening, Jenny Mendez, Teresa Magel, Sarah Heischmiedler. Thank you to our listeners. Check out our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page, Art Speak Radio, and you might want to like us. I hope you like us a lot. And you can also check out the KKFI Facebook page as well. And, heck, you can like us there, too. So for Art Speak Radio, my name is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. I thank you for listening. And, honey, I'm coming home.